Howdy, folks. I'm fixing to tell y'all about Texas, nicknamed the Lone Star State.
I'm particularly fond of these. I pulled them out of a place on Midgard called Texas.
Don't mess with Texas?
That's the message.
I'm Walker, and I'm Texas Ranger.
Sexy. I mean, anything for Salinas.
Welcome to this week's episode of Texas Slang for Crazy. This week, we're discussing the case of the missing memoirist. Now, just to start off at the top here, we do have a couple bits and pieces that may be information you don't necessarily want a younger or sensitive listener to hear. If that's the case, maybe skip this episode, listen to it later, or put on your headphones. It started with a memoir and led to a missing persons case. Edna Gertrude Beasley wrote her memoir, My First 30 Years, about her poor Southern childhood. Her memoir was published by a reputable firm, Contact Press. They'd published works by James Joyce, Gertrude Stein, and Ernest Hemingway. Her memoir was painful and real, and though many called it a work of brilliance, it was quickly banned in the UK and USA for very frank discussions about incest attempts from her brothers, rape and spousal abuse of her mother, and even bestiality on the part of one of her brothers. Most copies at the time were destroyed by Scotland Yard and U.S. Customs. Beasley had had a very difficult life. After years of abuse, her mother finally divorced her father, and she and 12 other brothers and sisters moved to Abilene, Texas. She was fired from an ice cream shop for serving someone who wasn't white. Gertrude went to the University of Chicago for graduate school, and there her interests in fairness led her to becoming a socialist, supporter of women's rights, and she took up a very healthy interest in politics. She sailed to Japan and wrote for National Geographic, when mostly men wrote for the magazine. She adventured to China and Russia, publishing articles on their politics, struggles, and social issues. She was very vocal about her support of birth control, giving women an opportunity to avoid having multiple children and being trapped in poverty or abuse like her mother. She wrote about the clear hypocrisy and religious trauma of Texas during the 20s. When she published her memoir, it named some of the names of very important people in Texas, and it's possible she had enemies because of this. After all, one of the people she'd written about was a Sunday school teacher who'd had an affair with a preacher, and then that teacher's daughter ended up marrying Dan Moody, and he became the Texas governor in 1927. Her memoir had very little attention first, but it was reviewed by critics like H.L. Mencken. He called it an amazing book. The New York Times called it a, quote, naughty book, but said it was amazing. Her good friend was Bertrand Russell, and he advised that the book was truthful, thus illegal. My First 30 Years quickly became a banned book in the UK and US. A few rare copies ended up in university libraries, but again, for the most part, they were destroyed in the US by customs when they arrived. And just as quickly as she'd come onto the scene, Gertrude Beasley disappeared. Of all people, it was Lonesome Dove's Larry McMurtry who wanted to find her. He used to run an incredible bookshop. I think it's still open, but unfortunately he has passed. He found the manuscript of one of these books, one of Gertrude Beasley's copies, and he said it was one of the finest books he'd ever read. He began writing letters to every Beasley he could find in the West Texas phone books. He contacted a woman named Alice W. Specht, the Dean of Libraries at Hardin-Simmons University in Abilene, and she took the case. And friends, never underestimate a librarian. For decades, the mystery continued. Leads led to a mental institution, but Specht was unable to confirm information as she wasn't a family member and HIPAA law prevented the release of the information. There were rumors that Gertrude had probably died in Russia for questioning Stalin, but Specht didn't believe it. In 2000, Gertrude Beasley's grandniece contacted Alice W. Specht, also looking for information on Gertrude. With a family member now in the mix, the two were able to get a copy of a death certificate from the state of New York. Edna Gertrude Beasley had been sent to a mental institution, Central Islip Psychiatric Center, just 10 days after returning to the United States. For the next few decades, she lived in horrifying, restrictive conditions. In 1995, she died from pancreatic cancer at the age of 63. Her grave was marked with only a number. The two made sure that a proper headstone was erected. But how did an author, who by all accounts was entirely sane, end up in a mental institution so soon after returning to the U.S.? According to records, while she was living in London, a policeman turned her out of her lodgings. There isn't a record why she was kicked out, but she retaliated by breaking a window with an umbrella. She was quickly arrested and placed in a mental ward at the local hospital. She was eventually let out and prepared to leave for the United States. According to the Texas Observer, the family found a dictation from Gertrude's brother saying that she was committed against her will by none other than newspaper man William Randolph Hearst. Gertrude had worked for him briefly. They found a letter mailed to the U.S. State Department where she claimed to be writing something, quote, most significant, end quote, and that the British police and certain people in Texas were trying to stop her. Gertrude advised in the letter that as soon as she got off the steamership, her life would be in incredibly great danger. Again, shortly after she arrived in New York, her prescience became fact. While we know her fate, we still don't know the real reason that she was committed. Perhaps like Ernest Hemingway being right about having his phone tapped by the CIA, Gertrude really was part of a conspiracy. In some good news, My First 30 Years is being reissued, and it will be available for purchase September 28th, 2021, and I know I can't wait to get my hands on a full-length copy. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. I know I've been gone from y'all for a couple weeks, but if you watch the Texas news, you know that there's been a lot going on out here. I would tell you to write to your senators, but when Ted Cruz doesn't respond to anything unless he wants it, don't know how much to tell you. Keep fighting, keep protesting, keep making your voices heard. We love y'all. Have a great day.